Now, go back to chapter 4 of James. That gets us back to why he hates it. James 4 and verse 4. Any form of lust we must flee from because God hates it. But what happens when we're friendly with the world? What happens when we are pursuing the lust of the flesh in any form, pursuing the lust of the eyes in any form, pursuing the pride of life in any form? What happens to us? God regards these pleasure-dominated believers adversarially. Do you get that? Verse 4, it just kind of jumps out. It's amazing. By the way, as I am going through this, I'm taking the majority view. I have 5,000 books, and I regularly consult every book I have on any topic. And I would say that on this passage in James, I read at least 30 different commentators, and I would say that the overwhelming majority, 20-some, 25, believe that James, the entire book, and especially the fourth chapter, is directed toward believers. There is a minority view that gets rid of all the problems of this passage, you know, the coveting and the murdering and all that, and the enemy of God, by saying this is talking about some really bad people that thought they were Christians in the early church. I don't think so, because the fourth chapter, there were no chapter divisions. If you read chapter 3, you follow the you's. He's talking to the believers all the way through 3, and he says, likewise, you. And I don't think that all of a sudden he picked out this row in the back that were the unbelievers that had snuck in the church. I think he's still talking to the believers. And as we see from Scripture, there are many that act this way and are believers. So I want you to know I'm taking the majority view, and if you think that this is all to unbelievers, the truth is still there, that God hates worldlikeness, so don't have it, okay? So you can think about your grocery list if you don't like this, okay? But the rest of us, keep going. Look at what it says in verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know this friendship, this comfort with the lust of the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Why would James say that? In the Old Testament, Israel was often called an adulteress. Remember, James is so Old Testament in his thinking. There were no New Testament books written yet. This is the first. This is the earliest. This is the first New Testament book. I know Matthew's in the front of your Bible, but chronologically, this is the first one that came. And so he was deeply steeped, as all the apostles were, in the Old Testament. And he was always thinking in Old Testament terminology to illustrate New Testament truth. So in the Old Testament, God called Israel adulterers and adulteresses because they claimed to serve God while pursuing their idols. The first three chapters of Hosea, that's what that's about. So James uses this Old Testament truth and says New Testament believers who claim to be God's friends. Now, where does that come from? He used in chapter 2, verse 23, the example of Abraham was the friend of God. And you should be like Abraham, is what he's saying. So these who were God's friends, but shared the world's values. That's chapter 3 of James, verses 13 through 18. He says, if you have, verse 14 of James 3, bitter envy and selfish seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie. And he says, the wisdom that is from above is different than the wisdom of the world. And the people in the church were adopting worldly values. And they were driven in the world's ways. And they were unfaithful to God and became God's enemies. So what he's saying is, spiritual adultery is when we start loving that which God hates, and we've become disloyal to Him when we adopt the world's values. This is the most sobering thought of the entire passage. James has stated that a believer, one who has trusted in Christ alone for salvation, can become an enemy of God, God's adversary. This is horrifying. We should have some reverent and careful thought about this. James is not saying that friendship with people in the world is hatred toward God or makes anyone his adversary. Rather, that friendship with the world, the cosmos, the evil world system, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which lies under the power of Satan, this friendship makes someone God's enemy. Continuing, believers who choose to pursue the pleasures of the world are ineluctably drawn, kind of like magnetism and gravity. It's almost an irresistible drawing. Are reluctantly drawn to friendship with the forces of the world system. These lusts, which are at the very least indifferent to God, and at the other extent, openly hostile to God. Now, I don't think that collecting dusty old things is hostile toward God, but it can bring us to a spiritual indifference toward God. I don't think that having an intense desire for being consummate in some sport or some activity or some art is hostility toward God, but it brings us to indifference toward God because he takes second place. And remember what he said to the church in Ephesus, you have left your what? First love. Anything, no matter how noble, no matter how wonderful, that makes God equal in our priority with something or someone else causes us to not love him with that supreme love which makes him jealous. Well, these friendships will ultimately spawn in the believer's heart the same indifference and hostility, therefore turns a true Christian into a practical enemy of God who claims and desires to love us. These are painful thoughts that a Christian for whom Christ died while we were still his enemies should in effect lower ourselves to live as a redeemed enemy of God. Yet this is what James is saying in this text, because he is writing to Christians, and this is what rings true when we think about our Christian experience. Many Christians, believers, who have not disclaimed God or announced their allegiance to the world, derive their pleasure and entertainments in the things which are patently hostile to God. That's what Samson does, and that's what Lot did last week. Their friends are the degraded videos and movies and CDs which demean the God they profess to love. There are also many who participate in the evanescent pleasures that God specifically forbids. Thus, we become practical enemies to God by our choice. And look what he says in verse 4 at the end. Anyone who chooses, James 4:4, to be a friend of the world, becomes an enemy of God. Be careful of those little choices. It must be said that those who persist living as friends of the world are very likely graceless. In other words, they're not Christians. And they are truly, as Paul says, in fact, let's turn back to Philippians 3 for a moment. Philippians 3 and verse 19. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Hebrews, James. Just go back a few books, Philippians 3, 19. Look what Paul says. We'll start in verse 18. Those who, despite their claims of faith, persist in living, loving and embracing and wholesale seeking the world, Paul says, for I have told you often before, and now say even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach or their appetites. Their glory is in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things. Now that's the ultimate friend of the world. And that's what God will not allow his believers to become. That's why 1 Corinthians 11, 1 John 5, Revelation 2, talk about sins that lead to death. The persistent, unrepentant embrasure of pride of life, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, God will militate against. He will chasten. He will resist. But if never forsaken, if never turned from, they are evidence that they were graceless and not Christians. Now, back to James 4:5. We always have to come back because I want you to see the next verse. What is the blessing of all this? James chapter 4, verse 5. Because James is trying to get us actually to James verse 6 of chapter 4, which is the happy conclusion. But look at James 4:5. Did you catch why God hates world friendliness, this mode, so much? It's because God loves us jealously. God compares friendship with the world to adultery. He said that in verse 4. God said we as believers are married to Christ. That's several times, but Romans 7, the fourth verse, says that. You and I, when we got saved, got married to Christ. He is our one who is coming to take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but we are already by faith married to Him. And so there's supposed to be a degree of loyalty because of that. And God compares friendship with the world to adultery. He says, you should be faithful to Christ your husband. And this picture of spiritual adultery is all the way through the Old Testament. If you read the prophets, and I'll just rattle them off, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea all have major portions talking about spiritual adultery. And what he's talking about is the Israelites who were supposed to faithfully pursue God by going to His temple and offering offerings to Him and following all of the whole picture of Christ in the Old Testament were forsaking that and becoming like the Baals and the Ashtaroths and all that. He called that forsaking Him for the world as spiritual adultery. Therefore, the world as God's enemy and those who want to be a friend of the world can't be the friend of God. And our flesh and its evil desires are God's enemy. And no believer who lives by the passions and lusts of the flesh and persists in it can be God's friend. Why? Because we have to understand verse 5. Look what he says in verse 5 of James 4. Do you think the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit, notice it's capitalized, notice it's we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? The Holy Spirit, now again, and this is, I would say that of the commentators, 25 take this to be the Holy Spirit, and there are the few that take it to not be. And they have problems with that. I mean, it's interesting because this is one of the most beautiful passages about the work of the indwelling Spirit of God in us. The indwelling Spirit of God, which was Christ's promise, His legacy to us when He left. He says, I go, but the Spirit's coming. And this is the seal of every believer. Sometimes we don't think about what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. James tells us in verse 5. And what he says is, if you understand the Holy Spirit's jealousy, it will have a heart-changing effect. Think through verse 5 with me. When we sin by seeking our pleasures in friendship with the world, we are greatly loved by the Holy Spirit. And His jealousy is an essential element of His true love. You see, if He didn't get jealous when we're friendly with God's enemy, He wouldn't really love us. See, this is one of the most beautiful pictures of love, that love desires and demands loyalty. We are brides of Christ. The Holy Spirit does not want us to go somewhere else to have our needs met. The Holy Spirit's true love for us evokes a proper intolerance of straying affection. The personalness of this ought to steel us against wandering. Just like the greatest deterrent in marriage to wandering is loving your partner. You want to have a fair and adultery-proof marriage, have a genuine mutual love. That love binds and keeps from straying. That's how it is in the Christian life. This jealous Holy Spirit inside us, when we sin, He's pained. He's injured. He's grieved. He's quenched. Furthermore, His jealousy is passionate. Look what it says in verse 5. He yearns jealously. That yearn is the word we get zeal from. He is zealously, he's not just jealous, he's zealously jealous. Do you see the difference? It's not just, well, I'm a little jealous about that. He says, I'm yearning for you. I'm zealously jealous. The idea in Greek is he longs or yearns for us with an intense jealousy to realize that the awesomely holy God who transcends this universe and is wholly other than us and is self-contained is at the same time personally, jealously yearning for my affection and yours is an amazing thought. He, by telling us this, should help us realize we ought to stop having any affairs with the world, and we should prostrate our souls adoringly before the one who loves us so much. And because we're so loved, James 4, 4 and 5 is a call for us to repent of any friendship with the world. And we should listen to God as he shows us what will happen to us if we persist in this friendliness with the world.